too, and just a few things that I want to mention this morning, and I think it's important. We get accused sometimes of, well, not sometimes, most of the time. One of the things we're accused of is that we make too much of Paul. And we magnify Paul. And we exalt Paul. I don't exalt the man Paul. I exalt his office that God gave to that man. But I do honor that man because that man suffered like no other man suffered to get the truth where you can be saved out. He said that he filled up the sufferings of Christ in his flesh for his body, the church. In other words, Christ died on a cross for your salvation. And he can't suffer no more. But somebody was going to suffer when to tell that message so that people could be saved by that gospel. And so somebody had to go and get that message out, or it would be a non-effect. But ever who got that message, ever who the Lord chose, that vessel was going to suffer. And that vessel was the Apostle Paul. Not Peter. Peter suffered. The 12 suffered. You can read the Fox's Book of Martyr and you can see how, according to that book, how they suffered. But they never suffered for you. Their message was to the nation Israel. And their gospel was the gospel of the circumcision that had to do with a kingdom being set up on this earth. And the blessings of God would flow through the nation Israel to all the other nations. And Israel was to go out into all the world and baptize and make disciples out of the nations and on in that kingdom program. That's the gospel of the circumcision. The good news was God's blessings would flow through the nation Israel. But that ain't your gospel. God is not establishing a kingdom today. God is not building a kingdom. God's building a building, but that building is the church, the body of Christ. And he's building it by saving men, women, boys and girls by his grace through the death of his son on that cross. That's the good news today. And that's the gospel of the grace of God. God today is gracious to every person on this planet today because of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross for you. God judged his son, poured his wrath out on his son. He said on that cross, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Had God not turned, he would have destroyed this world. Psalmist David said that God is angry at the wicked every day, and if he doesn't turn, he's going to wet his sword and he's going to bathe it in blood with the inhabitants of this world. Well, folks, he did turn. And he turned at Calvary. And what's keeping the wrath of God off of this world is the thing that people make fun of and make light of and will not believe it. And that's the cross that Jesus Christ bore for you. And I'm talking to you that are in this building right now. Everyone in here is born with a sinful nature. You are a sinner by birth. You are a sinner by choice. You are a sinner by doing bad things because you have a bad nature in you that causes you to do bad things. And you can't help that. And God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's good. A man might die for another man if that man's good. But let me ask you something. You in here that's got children, you'd do anything you could for that child, wouldn't you? Sure you would. In your power, you would try to help them. In your power, you would try to, you support them. You want the best for them. And that's the way it should be. But let's suppose that here's an old dirty, ragged guy out here. He's a bum. He's never done anything good in his life and probably never will do anything good. Would you treat him the same as you would your member of your family? You say, hey, get out of here. That's what God did to you. God showed you His love when you was an old bum and you was no good and you're never going to be any good. And God showed you His love in that He gave His Son to die for you so that He could receive you and conform you to the image of His Son. And someday God is going to take us old sinners, us old deserving, hell-deserving sinners, and going to exalt us and make us like Jesus Christ, and we're going to be called the sons of Almighty God and rule and reign with Him out there. Now, I want to tell you something. That's something to thank God for. And that's something you don't deserve. That's something you didn't earn. You know where I got that from? I didn't get it from Peter. I got it from Paul. So I want you to look in 2 Timothy. And I promise you, it ain't going to be that long. I got my clock up here. And I don't know why this did that, but it did it. But I punched my timer in, and I guess I had it on 15 minutes instead of something. So about 15 minutes, and I'm going to be done. Maybe. Maybe. 2 Timothy chapter 2, notice in verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, he didn't say be strong in the grace is in somewhere, but in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now, I want to talk to you just for a few minutes about the things. There are some things that Paul said we ought to pass on. And that's what the whole thing is. We, the members of the body of Christ, should pass things on to other people. I want to pass it on to faithful men, mankind. And let me say this. I want to say, you fellows in here, if you've got a wife, you got a wife that stands with you and loves you and supports you, you ought to thank God for that. I mean, you ought to be, and she loves the Word, and she loves the Lord. I mean, you ought to get down on your knees every day and thank the Lord for that. The women, behind every man, there's a good woman somewhere. Yes. I mean, that's true. Paul was a great man. I want you to look at some, because I'm talking about faithful men, but folks, I'm not going to leave the ladies out. I think you're included in all this. You're a member of the body of Christ. You're saved, and in the body of Christ, there's neither male nor female. So I want you to look back in Romans and turn to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. And notice in Romans chapter 16. Notice this thing in verse 1. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is in Cenchrea. She was a servant. She served in that church. She was a great asset to Paul. Come down to verse 3. Verse 2, let me read it. That ye receive her in the Lord as become of saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succor of many. That word succor is given aid. She's helped. She's been behind. She's done what she could do to help people, members of the, and she said, of many, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ, a man and his wife. I will tell you, there's nothing better than a couple that gets behind a man of God, that supports the ministry, that believes the truth of the Word rightly divided. And if you have a woman, and if you have a husband that does that, you need to support each other and build each other up and help one another and to serve the Lord. That's what we need in the dispensation of grace. That's what we need in the church today. And that's what Satan is trying to destroy. Do you know something today? If the home breaks up and gets tore apart, it's going to break up and tear apart the local assemblies that Kevin's talking about. That's one of the foundations. And what is Satan today trying to attack the home, trying to attack the marriage, trying to tear down the institutions that God Almighty founded out of this book? We're in a mess today, and we need each other, and we need to commit the things that Paul gave us to one another, to faithful people, that they'll carry on the ministry. Look with me, look on so. He goes on. Turn over with me and look in Philippians. In Philippians. And notice in Philippians. Notice what he says there in Philippians chapter 4. He says in verse 3. In chapter 4, verse 3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Help those women which labor with me. They're the ones that's behind the scenes. They're not out in the limelight. But they're the ones that's behind the scenes supporting their husband. And you know something? You ladies, you don't realize the power that you have. I mean, you can build them up or you can hold them down. And I've seen people in my ministry. I remember what Steve talked about last night, and it got me to thinking how many times I've seen men that stood for the truth, that loved the truth of the word rightly divided, and they believed it. And they found a woman, and that woman didn't believe, that woman wasn't saved, and before you know it, they're not even around, and you'd have to have a magnifying glass as big as a hubcap to find them. They forsake the truth. And then I've seen men, and they have a good woman that love the word. And them men ain't as strong as they ought to be, but that woman is. And she keeps him a-going. And she keeps him there. And before you know it, he gets a little stronger. And he gets a little stronger. I want to tell you something, ladies. We need you. The men need you. And the men, you're the head spiritually of the household. And God is going to hold you accountable for your spiritual leadership in the house. So if you got a good woman, say, praise God, Lord, thank you for giving me a wife like that. Amen. Now, June loves this type of preaching. Yes, sir. Things committed. And so when I'm talking about having commitment, I'm not just talking to the men. I'm talking to you ladies. I'm talking about faithful people that will pass it on, that will believe the truth, that will stand for the truth. Because I'm telling you, it's going to get harder and harder and harder. Why? Because evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And I don't want you deceived. And many times they are. Now I want to give you just next few moments. Like I say, my time is ticking off. Boy, it really is ticking off. I'm stopping this thing. Throw that thing in the water. Get rid of it. Number one, what should we pass on to other people? The gospel. Somebody say, well, what is the gospel? Well, turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter, and I preached it already. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. The word gospel simply means good news. And there's some good news that I got to tell you today. I mean, it's good news for you. If you was Barabbas, and you're sitting in that cell waiting to be crucified, the sentence is done passed, the judge has said death. You're sitting in there, you know you're guilty. And you look out there and they built that cross and there it is. And about that time a soldier comes in and says, got some good news for you, Barabbas. What kind of good news could you? I'm fixing to go die. No good news for me. Yep, got some good news for you. There's another man going to take your cross and going to die in your place. You think that'd be good news for Barabbas? Do you think he said, oh man, you got to be kidding me. I'm a robber. I'm a murderer. I've done all these despicable things. Somebody going to take my place? Yep, somebody's going to take your place. You're free to go. You're free. Your sins has been done away with that you was going to die for. They're gone. And the government and the world or whatever is never going to hold you accountable again for them things. You're free. Boy, that'd be good news, wouldn't it? That's what this is. You know, if a man come in here and bust through them doors and say, I got some good news. We'd say, well, now what good news are you talking about? I just won the lottery, $300 million. I got great news. Might be for you, it ain't for me. Especially if I bought a lottery ticket and you come in there, that'd be bad news for me. Good news. Do you know when it's real good news to you? It's when it's personal. When is the gospel good news? It's when you make it personal. Look what he says in verse 1. He said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. It's our foundation. He said, by which also ye are saved. That good news. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Believing in vain, different ways, but one way is without a cause. Matter of fact, it's translated that. And when the Lord was angry and he said, be ye angry without a cause. He says there, verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You know why that's good news to me? Because I realize I put my name in there. Christ died for my sins. Our sins. Christ died for my sins. And the night I got saved, when I said, Lord, I know you died for me, that's when it happened. Personal. Now you can believe in the death, burial, resurrection. You can say, I believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins, the world's sins. Yeah, I believe that. You can believe the historical facts, but you need to believe it for you personal. You need to believe it because you have a reason to believe it. And that reason is, I'm a sinner. I'm going to go into the lake of fire someday. I'm going to be eternally damned into that lake of fire, never to get out. I want to be saved. I want to have eternal life. And I believe that for me. And God will save you. That come from Paul. He said, that's the gospel which I also received. Turn to Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. And notice what he says. He said, the gospel, that good news, verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul got that good news for you, and he's the only one that got it, and he wrote it down, and he preached it, and he called it my gospel. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Notice in 2 Timothy chapter 2, notice what he says in verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7, where our context is about committing it to out of faithful men, come down to verse 7. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to what? My gospel. wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. He said, remember, consider it, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Why? That resurrection that Paul preached, where God was satisfied and raised him up for your justification. Look in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Go back to Romans 4. Notice in verse 24. In Romans chapter 4, verse 24. He said, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, his righteousness, if we believe on him that raised Jesus, our Lord, raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. Now watch it. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Now I want you to understand that Jesus Christ goes to that cross. On that cross, he becomes what you are. He dies your death. He had no sin to pay for. He's paying for your sin. And he's buried. He's put in a tomb. His spirit goes down, the Bible said, and descends into the lowest parts of the earth. And he's down there. Acts chapter 2 says he goes into hell. He's down there. He's suffering. He's down there and he's being stung. The sting of death is sin. He became sin. God made him sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And Jesus is down there and there's death down there. He enters into that death. He's taking your place. It's as though he's a sinner going into hell and death and hell, and he's down there and he has faith. Well, I want you to look with me. Turn back to Acts. Look in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And notice what he says there. In Acts chapter 2, notice he said in verse 30, talking about David, therefore, I being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on a throne. That throne would be over here in the kingdom. Over there, there's a time coming. God's going to establish a kingdom on this earth. That kingdom's going to be a 1,000-year reign of Christ over here. And so Peter said, he suffered, he's been raised to sit upon the throne. That's all they knew. But look, Paul said, remember that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead according to my gospel, not Peter's gospel. He only knew about the resurrection of the throne. He only knew of the kingdom. He only had the gospel of the circumcision. He knew nothing about your salvation. And people can't get saved by Peter's message. You can't get saved out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can't get saved by keeping the Sermon on the Mount. You can't get saved by following in the footsteps of Jesus. You got to follow Paul, and he's following the Lord. The message of grace is through that God gave to Paul. Now look what he says there. Verse 31, he seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in where? Hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. People say, oh, that's the grave. Yeah, right. Look back with me to Psalms. And turn to Psalms and notice in Psalms 40, I believe it is. Psalms 40. And notice something about this. In Psalms, you'll find he's talking about him. And I know it has to do with Christ. and he's praying. He gets to praying. In Psalms, notice in verse 2. In Psalms 40, verse 2, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, established my goings. Come down with me. That notice the horrible pit. Notice over in Psalms chapter 42, in Psalms 42. And notice what he says in verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Now watch it. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan. Verse 7. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Folks, that's the waves. Water is like wrath. God destroyed the earth in water. Jonah was cast out into a sea. Water. Water denotes wrath. This is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. People read these Psalms. Look back in Psalm 41. In Psalm 41, verse 9. Yea, my own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. You know that's found John chapter 13. That's a reference to Judas Iscariot, the friend of the Lord. But thou hast had mercy on me and raised me up. Look back in verse chapter 40 in verse 14. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Do you realize in John chapter 18 he said, whom seek ye? And they said, the Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I am he. Do you know what happened when he said, I am he? They were driven backwards and fell to the ground. That's right out of prophecy being fulfilled. When you read the Psalms, you're reading the thoughts and you're reading the prayers of the Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry. And you read these passages and the billows are rolling over him. He's in a deep pit. He's in the miry clay. He's down there praying. He's down there suffering. He's down there being stung by the sting of death for you. And God says is enough. That ain't all. Let me go on back here just for a few moments. And I promise I'm getting tired. I'll let you go in a minute or two. Notice what he says there. Turn over to Psalm 69. Psalm 69. Notice this thing. Psalm 69. Do you realize drowning in the Bible like a type of the wrath of God? Look in Psalm 69, verse 1. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing, like a bottomless pit. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. For they that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. Look in verse 14. Deliver me out of the mire and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate thee. And out of the deep waters, let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up. And let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. You remember when Moses said the earth and them people, the 250 men, they rebelled against Moses. And he said, if they die an ordinary death, God ain't sent me. But if God does a new thing, and the Bible said the earth opened her mouth and they went down into the pit. And it closed upon them. That's where the Lord went. That's hell that he's down there. He's down there and he's suffering for you. And he goes on. Look what he says there in verse, I'll let the water, verse 15, not the water flood overflow me. Neither let the deep swallow me up. And let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Look over in Psalm 88. In Psalm 88. Notice in verse 4, I think it is. Psalm 88, verse 4. Notice he goes on. Verse 4, he said, I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength. He said, free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more, and they are cut off from thy land. Thou hast laid me low in the lost pit. Well, you know that ain't David. That's the Lord. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with thy ways. Selah. He said, thou hast put away mine acquaintance far from me. Thou hast made me an abomination unto them. I am shut up. And I cannot come forth. Mine eyes mourn by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hands unto thee. Wilt thou show wonders to the dead? And shall the dead arise and praise thee? Selah. Notice verse 14. Lord, why camest thou off my soul? Camest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me? I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. Why I suffer the terrors? I am distracted. Thy fierce wrath goeth over me. The terrors have cut me off. On and on. I could go on in the book of Psalms. Psalm 160. Read all of them Psalms. That's the Lord. He's down there. And the Lord said, it's enough. I'm satisfied. God the Father said, I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied with his death, the suffering physically. I'm satisfied. He went into hell. He went into death for you. He was stung for you. And God said, I'm satisfied. It's enough. And he brought him up for your justification. There's no more that God could do to you than he's already done to Christ in your stead. And all you have to do is receive it. Paul said, and I'm more closed with this verse, Romans 5, verse 11. Romans 5, verse 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now, what? Received the atonement. Do you know how you can have eternal life today? Receive it. You can't do nothing. Your sins can do nothing to affect what happened in AD 33. And if you receive it for you, that all of that, all of this was done for you. Gosh, I believe that. I believe he done that for me. That's my salvation. It's as though you offered a sacrifice and God said, I'm pleased with that sacrifice. You can enter into the kingdom. And you go into the kingdom and, oh, the sacrifice was accepted. Well, God offered a sacrifice and it was accepted and it satisfied him. And all he says you got to do is receive it. Now, wouldn't that have been foolish if old Barabbas would have went out there and said, you're not taking my cross. Get down from there. I'm taking this cross. I'm going to die. Everything's been done. Receive it. Receive it right now. I believe that. And mark this day down in your Bible and you'll never forget. Mark it down. Whatever day this is, August something, I received Christ and the work he did in my behalf. Devil says, are you saved? Yep. How you know you're saved? Because Jesus Christ did all of this for me. God pleased? Yep. How you know God's pleased with you? Because he was pleased with Jesus Christ doing all this for me. What are you standing in? I'm standing in the work that Jesus Christ did for me. Well, ain't you got to do something? Nope. Just believe this. And thou shalt have life. Let's stand. That's why Paul could look at that old Philippian jailer in Acts 16 and say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Christ did it all. Can't suffer no more. But he left us with a gospel. And it brings affliction. People make fun of you. People say you're crazy. This is where life is at. Choose you this day, life, or choose the law and religion, and choose death. Death, life, choice is yours. And God will save you where you're standing right now. By believing what this is for you. And nobody will know it till you tell them. Will you trust Christ? Will you trust that he died for you? You say, well, I don't know if I'm under conviction. If you know you're a sinner, you know you've never been saved, that is the conviction, and that's all you need to know. I'm a sinner. I can't save myself, but he did all of this so I could be saved. I believe that. It's yours when you receive it. If you don't receive it, it'll never be yours. Father, I thank you for the gospel. I thank you for the things that was committed to Paul. Lord, help us to stand strong and pass them on and preach and bring the good news to people. And Lord, I don't know the hearts of people that's here today, but Lord, if there's one here that's never been saved, they've never trusted the gospel for their salvation. They might have trusted in their religion. They might have trusted in something other than the gospel that you gave. I pray, Father, that this will be the day they'll realize that they're lost. Realize that they're going to a lake of fire and they can do nothing. They can't get good enough to keep out of it. But Lord, you've provided that sacrifice for them. Help them to receive what Jesus Christ did in their behalf. And Lord, may they be saved today. Father, for Christ's sake, amen. If you trusted Christ, tell somebody about it. Amen.